Wow, what amazing truth. The very breath that we have, the very life that we have, the very existence that we have, it comes from God. I'm glad to see each and every one of you here today. And I want you to know that this week we've been reminded that anything can happen at any time. See? We really don't know what's going to happen. And we've had some loss in our congregation, and Chad Drake's here with us this week. And Chad, I want you to know, not to embarrass you or call you out, but I want you and your family to know that you're sitting here with a whole lot of people that love you. His wife was killed in a car accident this week. And I want you to know, when I sit here, a young woman, 24 years old, and I want you all to know that when I talk to you about the seriousness of grace, that it's the reality in everyday life. Now, we're usually alarmed when death shows up. We're alarmed. All of a sudden it hits us and we become conscious of it and we go, oh my God, this is not forever. And so I want you to know the thing that we rejoice about, Chad, is there was a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's it. And it gets this serious. And if some of you all are blown away by saying, wait a minute, what's Pastor doing getting this serious in worship? I want you to know that this is a real event. And the reason I tell you that, because really a lot of us have grown up in pretend church. We really have. We kind of go to church. We hear that God's a good thing. And we kind of go do our own thing through the week. And we come back and we really don't embrace, we're not here forever. How many of y'all are convinced of that? We're not here forever. We're not here forever. I want to thank you all for being a church that believes. That believe Jesus will save our sins. That believe Jesus is risen from the grave. That believes the power of the Holy Spirit and how that Holy Spirit redesigns our lives. Reconfigures and redesigns our lives. And we're witnesses that the things of God are true. How many of y'all, today they're true. Another instance, we will remember the Krause family. Jackie Krause, who grew up in this church, a young girl grew up in this church. We preached that funeral this week. This is this week. We had some more last week. From 7 to 70. In a 2-week period. From 7 years old to 70. See, it's not guaranteed. Now, I want you, are you hearing me? Give me a head nod or something, okay? Are you hearing me? I know I'm down here where we live. This is where we live. So this message is either true or it's not true, because there comes a moment that it's going to have to be true. And the good news is the message is true. Amen? And we're going to work with each other. We're going to see how that unfolds here in Scripture. How it unfolds. I'm amazed at how sovereign God is. We planned out this sermon series 6 months ago. And we've gone through this week. And guess what? Amazingly, the text that we're on is right on some of the things we've been dealing with this week. Jackie was 18. She passed away. Illness. Passed away 18 years old. She grew up through the children's ministry here. I'm so thankful that I'm a part of a church that's willing to invest in future witnesses. You know what? If we didn't have a children's ministry here, and if we didn't have some folks right now teaching in Sunday school and Bible study these things that people don't think are important, they don't think, hey, you know, really, I don't know if I got time to do that. Well, I'm glad some people took time to teach the gospel to Jackie, because guess what? Jackie received the Lord Jesus Christ when she was 10 years old. She was baptized right over there in that chapel. And you know what? We had no idea. We had no idea that we'd be doing her funeral when she was 18. But I'm glad somebody got the gospel to her. 14 months ago, a good old man, good old boy from Barron County, a great old guy, wonderful man named Mr. Cox, the father of one of the elders of the church, Dr. Kevin Cox. He rolls into my office and he said, "Preacher, you got me." I said, "Wrong." I said, "He got you." He said, "Well, okay." And he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He was baptized right up there. He didn't say, "Well, you know, I'm an older man." He said, "I'm a man who's met Jesus and I'm going to be baptized and do what Jesus Christ told me to do." You know what? Right from that baptism, 14 months later, he entered into the gates of heaven. Now, I'm going to talk to you as plain as I know how to talk to you. If you don't have things right with Jesus, the time to do that is right now. It's today. Some of you hard-headed men like me that have been putting off your baptism, would you please get that done so that I don't have to stand there with your wife and she have to wonder what's happened. Make sense? And some of you go, "Well, you know, if the Lord saves me, why is baptism important?" Because he asked you to do it. And what it does is this. Here's why baptism is important. It gives a visible confession to an invisible experience. That baptism has nothing to do with your sins being washed away, because it took the blood to do that. But it does confirm, I am going to believe in the things of Jesus. How many of y'all are believing in the things of Jesus? You want to confess it. So I want to do what Jesus told me to do. How many of y'all realize if you'll do what Jesus told you to do, then you'll go on and you'll get with it. Ethan, that baptism hadn't hurt you, has it? No, not a bit. And he's an old hard-headed quarterback from New York. And look, it worked. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. It matters that you receive what Jesus has said to you. Now, you understand? That's why we have church. That's why we're building that building over there. And the reason we're building that building, it has nothing to do with the building. We want to prepare for the future witness of Jesus Christ. How many of y'all realize we're leaving? We're not staying. We're leaving. We're not staying. I say that every Sunday. You're more convinced of it now because we've had one of those weeks. Uh-oh. God has spoke reality. God has spoke truth. I don't know when. It's a truth. And here's what I want you to know. For every living soul that believes in Jesus Christ, guess what? They take a breath into heaven when they take their last breath. How many of y'all understand that? Because of the power of grace of God, that when you take your last breath here, because of the blood of Jesus, you take your first breath into heaven. That's why we have church. That's why we praise God. That's why we do all this stuff. Because this is real. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter. I want you to know some things today. Three things in our framework. First of all, you got to decide what you believe. You got to decide what you believe. And in this world today, there's going to be a whole lot of folk trying to get you to believe a whole lot of different things. Second thing, if you believe it, you become it. You don't believe it till you start becoming it. That's another false teaching in the church. I can come in and say the name of Jesus and my life absolutely not change, and I think that I'm with Him. You're not with Him till you get with Him. Does that make sense? And you start activating the things that He's about. And you say, well, Pastor, am I going to be perfect? I doubt it. But you're going to be on your way. You're going to strive. Listen, if you don't feel bad about your sin, then you need to go check your salvation. If you don't feel bad about your sin, you need to go check your salvation. Because here's the thing, the good Lord will do this. Boom, He'll check up on you when you're walking the wrong way. How many of y'all get a little check when you... Now, He smacks me upside the head. Now, He's not going to do that to y'all. Why? Y'all are good people. Cindy, the Lord doesn't have to smack you upside the head.
Oh, yes, He does.
He does?
Yes, sir.
What about Earl?
Have to ask Him.
Earl, what about you? You get smacked upside the head, or you just kind of gently spoken to?
Once in a while, I get knocked down.
What? Yeah. Well, I thought I was the only one. I'm glad to see. Sheriff, I know you get knocked down because you're as hard-headed as I am. Lord has to go, peanuts! Yeah, Lord. Lord has to do me airs! You're right, God. That's okay. Now, some of you beautiful ladies that are just real gentle and cool and chilled out, God just kind of goes, we don't need to do that. And y'all go, okay. How many of y'all had more than one child? How many of you found this? The children are amazing to me. They come from the same place. You know what I mean? Like Elizabeth and I had two kids, you know, and Elizabeth and I were able to work with God in creating those kids. I like the working part. It was the after part that's a long time, you know. Here they are. So they had the potential of the same kind of DNA makeup, right? But they're absolutely totally different. How many of y'all found that out? To one, you can kind of say, we don't need to do that. And they go, okay. To another one, you can say, we don't need to do that. And it's like you not even talking. And I'm not going to tell you my two, which one's which. But they're totally different. And they take two totally different approaches to get them to the same thing. I believe God will get you where you need to be. Now, you got to decide if you're going to believe it, and you got to decide if you're going to live it. Okay, that's the second part. I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to be active in what I believe. And here's the third challenge. If you really believe it, you're going to be witness of it and a witness to it. Occasionally, I'm asked to go speak to preachers. Let me emphasize the word occasionally. And the reason it's occasionally, most of the time, they don't like what I have to say. Because they'll ask me things like this. Why do you think the church doesn't witness? I respond with answers they don't like to hear, because most people in the church really don't believe. See, that hurts, because you really function in what you believe. See, people don't understand that. You really function in what you believe. And I think the problem is we accept it exists, but sometimes we refuse to receive its power. That's the next step. You got to receive it, not just accept that it's there. You got to put it in you. Does that make sense? Like I can walk around. Mr. Ward, I walk around with a gigantic power cord, okay? I can walk around. I can show everybody the power cord. I can testify to its power. But you know what? It doesn't work till you do what? Plug it in. Now, how many of y'all are plugged in to the grace of God? Now, once you are absolutely convinced you have plugged in, you can't help but be absolutely changed. When you're plugged in, you're absolutely changed. Well, Paul works among the people of Thessalonica, and he's encouraging them, hang in there, it's worth believing in. Let's see what he says. Verse 10. Paul's been among them, and I want you to note, if you read up in the first part of this chapter, Paul has not been a burden to them. One of the things I think the church needs to be is a blessing and not a burden. Okay, you all have heard me say this before. If you're going to be a witness of Jesus Christ, when you go to work, you be the best employer or the best employee they have. Right. Sheriff, if you got a deputy, in my opinion, that's claiming to follow Jesus Christ, they ought to be one of the best law enforcement agents you got. Not one of the weakest. They ought to be one of the best. Now, church, this is where we get witness. If you notice, I know this is old-fashioned, but if you go back, Paul worked among them. Paul worked among them. I'm excited about our church because you know what? Hillview Heights Church has some old-fashioned values in it. We still believe in work around here. We believe you got to work with God. We believe that God works with us. We believe that God 100% saves us, but then guess what? Grace works out of us, and there is some responsibility of the church to work with God to see great things. How many of you understand that the building will be paid off by work? And that's a blessedness of God. How many of y'all glad you get to go to work tomorrow? Nobody ought to complain about going to work tomorrow. If you complain about going to work tomorrow, I'm going to hit you with this Bible. Because guess what? There's a whole lot more people not going to work than they're even letting you know about. Because if they let you know the real numbers, it'll really look bad. They hiding some numbers on you. See, they're not even counting the folk that have quit going to work that don't even want to talk about it anymore. Well, they're just as unemployed as the people that just now became unemployed. But you know what? We, in those of us who are witnesses, we need to work to be a blessing. How many of y'all are a blessing? Look at your neighbor and say, you could be a blessing. Just go ahead and tell them. You could be a blessing. You could be a blessing. Oh, come on, tell them. Manly, you could be a blessing. A big one, but a blessing, all right? You could be, what do you think, ma'am? You could be a blessing. What do you think about that? That's awesome, isn't it? You could be a blessing. You could be a blessing. Now, how many of y'all going to wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I could be a blessing? How many of y'all, when you go to the minute mark, you're going to be a blessing? You check up on them, all right? Because you'll see them at the minute mark. People who've worshipped at Hillview, they ought to walk in the minute mark and say, wow, it's Monday. Instead of, my God, Monday's here again. See, it's talk about embracing life, folks. God is the breath that I breathe. He's the opportunity. He's my way. He's what I believe. Look at what Paul said. He said, now you are witnesses that when we were among you, we lived like we were supposed to among you. Look what he said. Verse 10. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. Now guess what? When you come into church on Sunday morning, you're among those that what? There you go. When you come on Wednesday night, you're among those that? When we get out there on an oil change, you're among some that? Now, when you get out in the everyday, just wherever you are, there are some that? Yeah, there's some that don't believe. And then there's some that what? How many of y'all are saying that's the deal? Don, you will bump into people that do not what? They don't believe. Well, our job is to live like we believe. Because we believe. Y'all got it. All right, I'm done. Let's go home. I mean, do you live like you believe? Do you live knowing that Jesus has forgiven you of your sins? That means you're clean before God. Holy, righteous, and blameless. Just what these words of Scripture are. Do you believe? Do you know? Are you convinced? Have you received? You're on your way to heaven. How many of y'all glad to know you're on your way to heaven? See, Paul knew that. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know about y'all, but I live different on my way to heaven than on my way to hell. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not on my way to hell. That my last breath is not total destruction. It's total, absolute, forever life. And eventually there's some people that get so convinced of it, they work it out among the everyday life. They work it out. They work it out. They work it what?
Out.
How many of y'all realize that really every day Jesus is just wanting to get out of you? He's wanting to get out of you. Now, do you believe? Evaluate, update, look into yourself significantly. And ask yourself, do I believe? Do I want the holiness, the righteousness, the blamelessness of God to come out among me as a believer? For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children. I want to show you how our conduct ought to be. If we really going to believe, there ought to be an attitude. There ought to be an attitude. Hillview, I appreciate the attitude that's in this place. Amen? But may it be that much more. Red, I'm kind of sold out on attitude, aren't I? I believe if you feel like you're going to get beat, you beat before you start. How many of y'all believe that?
That's
right. See, I think that's the problem with church. I think we walk into the world going, well, they're probably not going to listen. Why don't we walk into the world saying, they need to hear this. They need to know that this is the way it is. I want to tell you something else I want to see y'all quit doing. Quit apologizing for being saved. I hear people all the time going, well, you just think you're better than me. No, I'm not better than you, but I have a Jesus in me that's better than the hell in you. That's a fact. Heaven smells better than hell. That's a fact. Heaven has is a place that is gorgeous and blessed. Hell is not. There's a distinct difference between heaven and what? Blameless, righteous. Paul said, I'm living out heaven amongst you. And he said, this is the way we were. Look at these activities. Now, here's where it gets at. Do you believe God has saved you? Do you believe Jesus is his son? Do you believe he'll get in your life? Do you believe it'll be made new? Do you what?
Believe.
Do you? See, it makes you crazy. I believe people can be saved. How many of y'all believe people can be saved? Now, when you believe that, you start telling people. When you don't believe that, you stay in your own thing. I don't know anything more important than that. And I know that irritates some of y'all when you deal with me. You bring me this stuff that nobody's going to remember, that you're all upset about. And what you need to really understand is nobody's going to remember that. And nobody's upset about it but you. And the only reason you're upset about it is because you really think people care about what you think. And that's why you live a miserable life. When you're set free, you realize that most people don't care what you think. God don't care what I think. I know that. You share it with me. And I really don't care what I think, but I must embrace what God says. You see the difference? There's a difference in man's opinion and God's truth. Believe God's truth. He goes on to tell us this. We were like a father among you. We were in family and how a father does his own children. Look at this. Encouraging, comforting, and urging. Can y'all, those three things, what we ought to be doing here. Encouraging. What else? We got to be comforting. Don't we, Chad? There are going to be some tough moments. You got a whole church with you. You got a big family. Do you realize that? Crazy family, but a big one. Amen. And a loving family. And people here that believe, people that believe Jesus will do something. Jesus will heal our hurts, even when they're deep. And we get some deep hurts in humanity. That's real. That's life. That's truth. But guess what God will do? He'll reach out and he'll go, I want to show you I'm still here. How many of y'all have learned this much? If God's there in my midst, I'm going to make it. And that's all God's got to let me know is he's what? There. That's enough. Jesus, I'm really confused. He's seen me confused before. How many of y'all the Lord's seen you confused before? But he's still what? He's there. He won't leave. He stays with us. He wants to bless us. Now look what ought to be our action in here. Encourage one another. Encourage one another to the great things of life. Comfort one another. We're going to have nicks and scrapes and bumps. It's a given. How many of y'all found that to be true? Come on, give me a head nod or something. Work with me now today. Work with me, huh? How many of y'all found that to be true? I don't wake up every day and just feel like, oh, when people hurt me, it hurts. How many of y'all have that as a human? When it hurts, it hurts. There's wounds, there's scrapes, there's disappointments. But Paul tells them, wait, live in this way. Encourage one another, comfort one another, and urge. Now we got to get, I tell you what we need in this church a little bit. We need a couple of gallons of urge. Not the kind you're thinking of either. Urge ourselves to live a life worthy. To live a life what? Well, look what it says right there. To live lives worthy of God who's called you into His kingdom and His what?
Glory.
You got to do this. Look beside you. Come on, I want you to look. I'm going to look at you, man. Is that all right? Look at you, man. Watch this. Check this out. Those are your daughters? Beautiful. Y'all did good work. You did great work. God worked well with you. That's the glory of God. Look over here. That's the glory of God. You're the oldest, aren't you? Congratulations. That's the best place to be, is the oldest child. They're better than others. Did you know that? No, I'm just kidding. At least I tell my three kids that. All right, look at here. The glory of God is housed in the people that He's saved. In those that believe. How do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe? I believe. And the only reason we have a church is because we can believe. And as we believe, God will bring His glory and make it visible. I appreciate y'all investing in future glory of God. I'm glad somebody taught Sunday school to Jackie, aren't you? I'm glad she went to Bible school. I'm glad she went to Godstock. I'm glad she went to all of these things because guess what? They were a part of her whole funeral experience. I didn't know she was going to leave at 18. They didn't record that. They didn't tell us that when we started teaching her at age 9. They didn't have that down. We didn't know what the future was going to hold. Other than this, we do know this. We're not staying here. How many of y'all understand? We're not staying here. Paul knew that. We're not staying here. So encourage, comfort, urge those to live a life worthy. And then he tells us this. And we also thank God continually. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. It won't work till you believe it. It won't work till you believe it. How many of y'all believe that this whole place can win this county?
Yes.
How many of y'all believe? Okay, good. It's more than 12. You know what I love about the church? God's going to work with those who believe. Those who don't believe always stay shallow. So if you're feeling shallow in your spiritual life, it's probably you need to go back and really check, what do I believe? Do I believe God saved me of my sin? Do I believe He's really created a new heart in me? Do I believe my destination is heaven? When you go back and reevaluate that, that'll change how you approach the day, won't it? Do I believe? How many of y'all believe the Word of God is the Word of God? I do. I believe it's the divinely inspired Word of God. Believe me, I've been under a lot of professors who've tried to show how it's really not the Word of God, and Jesus really didn't say this, and really didn't say that, and I have enough knowledge of the biblical languages where I can go, well, but this and that and that and that. You know what it is? It's the Word of God. I went through all that for a season in my life and became a miserable person. Guess what I came back to? The Word of God is the Word of God. It was written like it was supposed to be written. It was said like it was supposed to be said. And it will do exactly what it says it was going to do. It is not for me to rearrange it. It is for me to believe it. You know why the Bible's hard to believe? It takes you past your understanding. Because see, we can only believe what we observe. Does that make sense? And God takes us beyond what we observe to where He is. That's the new world. God sees through us and beyond us into heaven. Isn't that neat? We get a beyond, a through, a new world with God. So believe it. Church, I want to just encourage you. Believe it. Live it. And be a witness to it. He said, you know what we're called to do? We're called to go tell what we believe, become what we believe, and live what we believe. Why? Because God is truly the truth. God is truly the truth. What do you think? God is certain. And he goes on and tells us this. He tells us to embrace it as it actually is. The Word of God, which is at work in you who believe. So we need to believe today. We need to live it out, what we believe. We need to know God will. Not just God's will, but God will. God will do what he said he's going to do. How many of y'all have confidence in that? Amen. I'm telling you. So just some practical things today. If you got a job, wake up in the morning and thank God for it. And if you don't have a job, get up and look for one. And if you can't find one, then ask God to create one in you. Say, God, they're not hiring anybody. So, Lord, it looks like you've called me to start a new company. What do I need to do? God says, you need to sell lemonade. Well, I don't want to do that. That's beneath me. You know why a lot of people don't have a job? Because they got too many things beneath them. I talked to a friend of mine this week. He doesn't have a bunch of fancy degrees. He didn't go to law school. He doesn't have a big petty degree. You know what, though? He's got a lot of money. He couldn't find a job. You know what he did? He bought a lawnmower. He started mowing yards. He mowed a yard better than anybody else. Now, he mowed a yard. Your yard looked like a golf course when he got done. Before too long, he had a trailer, and it had about 13 lawnmowers on it. Then before too long, he had another trailer, and it had a bunch of lawnmowers on it. And I want you to know that he made more money than lawyers and doctors. Because he took what he had and believed and let God go to work in him. Instead of walking around going, hey, I can't find a job. I can't find a job. The government won't give me a job. Y'all ever read the Bible? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's. All through history, Caesar has been in the taking business a lot more than in the giving business. You better be careful. God, create in me a passion to live and to work and to believe. And I'll tell you what stuff will jump out of your life that you never imagined. How many of y'all believe that to be so? So some of you college graduates, guess what? It's probably not going to be a lineup that people want to hire you. It's just a fact. So ask God, what does he need to create in you? Huh? It'd be just like a Kentuckian to figure out how to take a tobacco leaf and make gasoline out of it. And then 2 years from that, it'd be destroying the environment some way. So a lot of you could have a job on studying how it's destroying and then creating filters for the destruction. And man, it'd be all kinds of jobs. There's a little crazy white-haired guy a long time ago. He flew a kite and let it get hit by lightning and discovered electricity. And we got the lights on today. I bet people said he was a crazy maniac, don't you? I bet you had candle people that said, well, I'll tell you what, that electricity stuff, now that's just crazy as it can be. We're candle people. And candles will always be. I bet when the automobile came out, some of you all were around when that happened. My grandmother was. My grandmother used to tell tales about this charming young man. She called him a caller. That's what she said, a caller. And I go, what, Granny? A caller. And my grandfather would go, a young man. I said, oh, okay, a caller. She told stories about this caller riding up to take her out on a beautiful Appaloosa horse. Now, I'd heard of been people being picked up in a Mustang, but it was a whole different situation. She went from there to flying planes, Mach 2, all in one generation. You know why? Because some people decided to believe and to see and to activate and to go. In this church, I want you to know, we got to keep telling people Jesus will make a difference. Amen. And I know that sounds redundant, and a lot of you hear that here a lot. I hope you never get tired of it. I hope you never get tired of seeing people baptized. I hope you never get tired of seeing people saved. I hope you never get tired of God doing His work among you, because you know what? That's all that matters when you take your last breath. So I'm going to stay on what matters. Does that make sense? And so today I want to invite you to what matters. Do you know you're a sinner and you need Jesus in your life? That matters. When you take your last breath, they're not going to ask you how much you made. They're not going to ask you if you lived in a big house or a small house. They're not going to ask you if you were black, white, green, or yellow. Guess what you will be when you die? Dead. All the things that we've made significant will become insignificant. And the one thing that will be significant is, do you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? That'll be it. Right now in the county that we live in, I got some new statistics. Did y'all realize there's 100? You probably did, Sheriff, because you get these inside studies. We have 105,000 people in the county that we found. They say there's some at Richardsville we haven't found yet. They're hid out. Okay, but so far, it's 105, all right? We have 20,000 people in our county that attend church. That's pulling all the churches together. Ours, every church, we have 20,000 that go to church on Sunday morning. Now think about it. Open your mind. Where would we put 20,000 people? Most of the churches in Warren County hold about 150 folk. And most of them are family owned and operated. True? Y'all, there have been some of them, if you don't have the right last name, you're not welcomed into the kingdom of God. I mean, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm not being harsh. I'm just telling you the truth. Why do y'all get so shocked when I tell you the truth? Y'all are looking at me like, well, he's telling us the truth, but he shouldn't have said that. See, truth so blows us away, we can't even tell when David Letterman's telling the truth. Isn't it wild that a comedian, or whatever he does, can confess better than the church? So that's what we're supposed to do. God, this is where I am. But then we get to say, Jesus, make me, prepare me, recondition me, love me, and show me how to get into heaven. And He will. He brings us there. Isn't that neat? Got 105,000 people here. 20,000 of them go to church. If my math is correct, it's Warren Central math, that's 85,000 people that are unchurched in our own county. Is that correct? Somebody from Bowling Green High, give me an identification on that, huh? Is that true? Is that true? What about Warren East? Does that verify with Warren East math? Yes? What about Greenwood math? Got Greenwood math? The new school's not open yet, so they ain't any math classes yet. 85,000 people need to be witnessed to. Y'all understand that's our job. Earl, that's our job. And so I want you all to live and die witnessing to Warren County that Jesus Christ died on the cross, has risen from a grave, and will save your life and take you to heaven. I think that's all that matters. What do you think? That's what matters. When it's all said and done, that's what matters. Now, if you haven't done that today, we're going to open up this altar and we're going to give you an opportunity to come and allow the Lord to forgive you. Now, some of you are going, Pastor Steve, you don't know what I've done. Well, let me ask you a question. Was it bad? How many of y'all have done something bad? I mean, you know, you've done something bad. What do the rest of y'all do? How many of y'all have done something good according to the people around you? You notice how I said that? It may be bad to me. It's just you hang around people who think it's good. How many of y'all know you've sinned? You absolutely know you've sinned. Yeah. Like, what about this one? The Ten Commandments, it says, thou shalt not covet. How many of y'all have ever coveted? In fact, I live in a culture that when you watch the TV, about every 10 minutes, it puts on covet temptations. It's called advertisements. And they say, if you don't have this, you're what? You're missing life. You know, if you use that Axe spray, you know, y'all seen that commercial? You know, you spray this Axe stuff on you and you walk around and women will just follow you. I've smelled some of you. It ain't true. It ain't true. But what's it saying? I want to be like that. I want to be like that. Well, you know what God wants you to be? He wants you to be like He's made you. We've sinned. We've broke the Ten Commandments. We broke God's law. You got to come to that. I confess to you, God, I need you because I've sinned. I'm away from you. And you know what Jesus does? He reaches down with grace and He says, I want you to know that I died for you and I have forgiven you of all that sin. And then He begins to take you out of this life that is temporary and bring you into His life that is eternal. That's the good news. I just want everybody to get to go to heaven. Amen. And I think since Jesus has opened the door, we ought to extend an invitation through our lives to do what? Invite people to heaven and to receive grace. What do you think, Doc? I mean, you do a good job. You know, you keep us of justice and keep the earth temple rolling. As a doctor, have you noticed this stuff don't hold up? I mean, you trying to keep old jocks up all the time, aren't you? And they're coming in, Doc, my knee's loose. And you're saying, because it's gone. How come my earlobes hurt? Because there was nothing else left on your body to hurt. So they just agreed with the rest of your body. We're not staying here. We're going to be with Jesus. Let Jesus come into you. Let Him love you. Let Him heal you. Let His life work itself out of you. Okay? Feel that. Receive that. Believe that. Live that. Be witness to that and let God bless you in all that He does. Amen? Amen. Well, let's stand together. Two things at the altar today. Y'all been great today. Give yourselves a hand for listening. That's neat. That's powerful. We got some baptisms happening at the 11 o'clock service. I'm excited about that. I want to tell you all thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 93 people confessed their faith in baptism in the month of September in this church. Oh, come on. Celebrate that. Celebrate that. Now, watch this. Same ought to happen in October. Now, we probably don't want to go baptize up the lake. It'd be a little nippy. But you know what? How many of y'all got a friend that needs to know Christ? They just need to hear what we talked about today. Okay, now listen. Just tell them. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, I practice lifestyle evangelism. I understand that, but you got to tell them sometime. You know, I don't know how to get to the grocery store unless somebody tells me. And when I get into the grocery store, I got to confess to you. I don't know where anything is. I have to ask. And if somebody looked at me and said, well, just watch my lifestyle, I still wouldn't know where the coffee was. I like it a lot better when they say, aisle three, left side. You know, Pastor Reynolds, when they say, well, how do you get to heaven? You got to recognize you're a sinner. You got to understand you broke the Ten Commandments. You got to understand only Jesus can save you. And they say, you believe Jesus died on a cross. How many of y'all believe Jesus died on a cross for every one of us in this room, for every one of us outside of this room, for this world and this universe? Jesus Christ died. He died. But I got some even better news than that. He lives. And He'll live in anybody today. In anybody today. So I want you to come watch kind of a touchdown altar call. Just come touch your knee down and say, God, I want you to draw my buddy Bob to grace. Or I want you to draw my sister Sally to grace. Or I want you to draw Jeremiah to grace. Or I want you to get Jaquita to understand how much she loves you. God, I want you to talk to Julio. And I want you to reach the world. I heard last Sunday was awesome. How many of y'all had a great time last Sunday? I heard, watch this. I heard we spoke in tongues. I heard we sung in Spanish. We sang, we sung. Boy, that sounds Kentuckian, doesn't it? We sung a song last week. We sang in Spanish, in Portuguese, in Korean, in English, and Kentucky. Five languages. All in one place, but we sang to one God. Amen. If God's drawing you to grace, let's come. Chad, once again, I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to love you because I want you to know you're loved. And we're going to pray for you. And right now, I just want to pray for Chad. Chad, if you don't mind, just let me touch you. I want to pray for Chad. He's lost his wife. You know what? I don't know how he feels. But Chad, there's some people in the congregation that know how you feel because they've lost their spouse. And if you've been through that experience, you know what? And God's healing you of that and you're getting through that woundedness, I want you to come, just come up to Chad and say, Chad, I know the way through this dark tunnel. I've been there. Now, it gets this real. It gets this real. Amen? What's the use of having church if we got to pretend when we go through something painful? I want to pray that this boy be healed. Amen? And he's got beautiful daughters, and they're going to grow up and be all right. Amen? It's the power of God. So just pray with me. Lord, right now, I lift up Chad. And God, what a horrifying week he's had. And God, we pray right now in this congregation because we love you and we believe. I pray, Jesus, that right now you begin to heal his heart. You begin to touch him and let him know that even where he feels lonely, he's not alone. And God, let him know that you're going to gather these beautiful people around him. And we're going to encourage and we're going to heal and we're going to comfort and we're going to urge toward heaven. Just like you told us today in your word that is true. So God, just bless he and his family and his children. And let him know that it's real. Thank you for him, Lord. Amen. Keep praying. If you need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, tell Jesus right now, Jesus, I believe you're for real. Jesus, I know I've sinned. Jesus, I want you in my life. Lord Jesus, come and save me. I guarantee you, if you pray that right now, he'll reach down and save you forever. You'll end up in heaven. Come on. Don't blow that today. Don't blow that today. You know what Chad will tell you? Chad will tell you, you better do that today because you're not guaranteed you're coming back next week. You're not guaranteed you're going to be here on Wednesday. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you the absolute truth. That's why it's jarring your reality, because you know I'm telling you the truth. And here's our problem. We stand here arrogantly before God Sunday after Sunday saying, God, I'll get to it when I want to. And God the whole time is pulling you saying, come on, let me save your soul. If you need to be saved, get saved. If you have been saved, then you need to get baptized. And if you have a problem with being baptized, I say you need to go back because you might have a problem with being saved. Why in the world would you not want to stand up and declare the goodness of God? Don't tell me you're embarrassed. I don't buy that weak lie from hell. I do not buy that weak lie from hell. You can't be saved and embarrassed. There's no way that you can say God has forgiven me all my filthy sin. My stinking, wretched sin. God has forgiven me of all of that. God has loved me, died on a cross for me, risen from a grave for me. I cannot be embarrassed. When I truly know the grace of God, I got to say thank you, Jesus. Amen? God's moving at this altar right now. I want you to come. If you hadn't been baptized, if you hadn't been saved, church, do not delay this moment. Do not delay this moment. Do not delay it. If you're a husband and you're married and you know you've loved Jesus but you've never been baptized, you need to man up. So on the day of your departure, your wife can go, I know that my husband was buried in those waters and risen out of those waters and he's confessed Jesus. Why is baptism important? I'm going to tell you why it's important. It is a visual reality of an invisible experience. It's a witness. Go be a witness. There you go. It's the real stuff. All right, church, the Holy Spirit's here. Father who art in heaven, by the grace of Jesus, the Son of God, bring us here through the power of the Holy Spirit to be saved, to be healed, to be prayed over, to be comforted, to be encouraged, to be urged. Whatever you need us to do, God, call us to this place right now. So I just ask you in the name of Jesus, if you need to come, come on. Don't delay. Don't delay. Come on in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. The altar's released. Don't stand there and stare. Come and kneel and pray and see what God will do in your life.